Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live from beautiful Minneapolis, Minnesota. All right, I'd like to acknowledge and validate the reality of dreams today. And dreams might be something that some of us have an interest in, and maybe they often get pushed into the background because of our focus on life in the outer world and day-to-day affairs. But for right now, let's bring it forward and shine the light into this area that takes up a big part of our lives. As we continue, we will be lifting the energy from the third dimension and relaxing and lifting the energies higher into the fourth dimension. So find comfortable chair or a nice relaxing place to sit. Forget that anything else is going on in your life and just listen. This broadcast today is actually a rebroadcast of the original Dream Show. So there won't be an opportunity for you to call in like there normally is on our live show. But that just gives you a chance to know that this will be a meditation today. We can look ahead to new shows where you will call in. And I went over my ideas about how I would like the call-in process to work in the show that disappeared back into the dream space from whence it came. So I'd like to just go over that really quickly. We have a wonderful opportunity to interact via this toll-free number. I'll give it to you right now, even though you can't call in right now. On Fridays between 8 and 9, on the Creative Cosmos broadcast, you're always welcome to come by and discuss anything you have on your mind, whether it be a feeling, a real world situation. A life conundrum, or a vision you need help interpreting. If you'd like to simply interact with me and share a revelation of your own with our audience, that is welcomed as well. So the toll-free number is 1-888-268-4313. Once again, 1-888-268-4313. And when you do call in the days and weeks and months ahead, if you feel like not giving your normal name and city like so many shows, but giving your mythical identity, I would love to hear of what you believe yourself to be. If you're an angel, let me know. If you're an alien from another star system, this is the place to tell about where you're from, what you're up to, and what you'd like to see would happen in the future. If you're a demon seeking redemption, you can come to me, explain to me what it is that's been happening, and perhaps together we can find release. If you're a creature of the fairy realm, with a particular concern, please step forward. Share with us the information and insight you have. It is a safe place here. There is no judgment and there is no story too bizarre, because we know the universe is a crazy place. Before I even knew about the metaphysical, when I was young, I noticed in my mind that when I slept, certain dreams I had would stand out from all the other ones. There would be a sense of profundity. I would remember them very vividly, and I would feel like there was a very important message behind them. I didn't know specifically what it was, but there was an air of intensity about these dreams that made them different from the everyday dreams that consisted of mind stuff regurgitated in endless cycles. I was very young when I first started having these dreams that I later called epic dreams. One of the early ones started out with me on a first grade playground, swinging on the swings. And I jumped off the swing and ran over to the side, to the edge of the school property, where there were bushes and trees and thick foliage making a sort of wall. I climbed up and pulled the brush to the side and looked through, and I saw a step pyramid. And up to that point in my life, I had never seen such a thing. There was no frame of reference I was referring to. It was only in my dream, the first place that I saw this. And later, from the soul perspective, after reintegrating and coming to understand my whole past from the soul's perspective, I realized that this was a past life. Mixed within the dreams of your childhood are very likely signs and clues to the lives you've had before you came here to the earth. I realized I was an Aztec and had lived in an Aztec kingdom, and I was a sort of medicine man. And there was another dream of where I was walking with a guide on a dusty plateau in the middle of the day with no one around, overlooking all these square-shaped mud housing structures as far as the eye could see. And I could feel the clay underneath my feet as I walked into one of these structures. And I could remember distinctly laying down in the bed, and the nuance, the aesthetic of the time period. And I realized it must have been in Turkey during the Byzantine Empire. And there were other dreams that were Jesus related, especially considering this was my only spiritual frame of reference at the time as a child, being raised as a Lutheran and studying the stories of the Bible, which most American kids would be exposed to, particularly in the 80s. These dreams would sometimes be apocalyptic in nature. There was one time where I was running around in a rainstorm, and there was kind of a gulf near a big city, and the waves were crashing up across the shore, and I was desperately trying to get a hold of the people I loved on a cell phone, but I couldn't reach anybody. But I knew that way out in a cave towards the end of the land, Jesus was standing there. And when I realized I couldn't get a hold of anybody through the phone, I ran out to the cave. And when I met up with Jesus, I felt like no matter what would occur, everything would be okay. And there's another episode which took place at one of my grandparents' house in the dreamland. Often your dreams take the form of places where you were familiar with in your youth or in your formative stages of life. So often I'd had dreams that would take place at either of my grandparents' house. And in this one, it started out with me having the power in my hands to gesture and call forth the lightning from the sky. I would move my hands vigorously in the air, and there would be great bolts of lightning and rumbles of thunder. And then, a little later on, when I was done with my activity, I began to ascend into heaven. Now, this was something that I had never fully understood from the stories about Jesus. I knew that he ascended into heaven, and I knew that meant that he raised up into the sky. But then I wondered what happened to him, because if he just kept going up into the sky, he would eventually hit outer space, and even Jesus would die in outer space. And I never really solved this in my mind at the time. So in the dream where I began ascending into heaven, I ascended up, way up into the sky, and then I just stopped. And I had the whole feeling of raising all the way up. And then I was just suspended in the clouds. And then I was just sitting there going, well, what now? I'm just hanging out here. So that kind of freaked me out. But later on, I realized that the ascension is raising in vibration, and that the highest master can raise the vibration rate till they disappear right on out of here. And vice versa. They can manifest as well. So all these dreams can be considered for meaning and lessons to be derived. it's an opportunity to experience a circumstance that provokes a kind of response, which we can then consider and learn from. Our lessons go on whether we are awake or whether we are asleep. In the excellent books by Robert Monroe on the subject, Journeys Out of the Body, Far Journeys, and Ultimate Journeys, he describes how when we go to sleep, many of us go right straight to classrooms on the astral plane, where we learn some of the basic life concepts. And we may be given dream scenarios simply to learn the lesson we need to learn. And then if we screw it up, we'll get presented with a similar circumstance again and again until we discover the principle behind it that the dream scenario is trying to get us to understand. And while we're in the dream, just like while we're in the body living this life, we tend to identify with the circumstance. And as long as we're tied to that identification and the habits within that identification, we might have a really hard time solving the dream riddle. That is one reason people have reoccurring dreams, is because they have yet to make the correct choice in the dream, which solves the riddle and dissolves the need to reiterate the lesson. And this is real experience. Part of our life, we are experiencing this dream and gaining the knowledge that this experience provides. Even as you go back over your life and decode what has occurred to you so you can gain the lessons that were being shown, so too you have to go over all the dreams you had while you were living that life in the past, because it was a part of your experience. It was a part of what happened to you. And as we know, time can get distorted in a dream. We could go to sleep and seem to have lived many weeks and wake up even more exhausted than when we went to sleep, and almost disoriented, surprised that we're back in our old environment. These early dreams of mine really spurred the philosophical urge in me to seek the deeper questions in life. Early on, as I began writing many songs, of course, some of these came from the dream plane. And one in particular seemed to embody or encapsulate the aesthetic which I felt underscored the profundity of these early visions of mine. And so I titled the tune "An Epic Dream" in honor of this early idea of the dreams that stood out and made themselves known. So close your eyes, relax, and let this song take your cares and wash them away with the hope of an epic dream.
children hope to sing, longing just to be okay, with life unfolding every day as you are, shining star. Oh, listen to your heart and follow all your dreams in a world that's spinning round and round, a cosmic game of lost and found over you. See it through.
I've always liked that one. Again, that was An Epic Dream by yours truly, Christopher Moores of the Creative Cosmos. And I'd like to remind you again that although our live show now exists only in the Akashic Records, this show is a good, healthy replacement with the changes that a new scenario in the moment would bring. Anyway, I still want to give you the toll-free number one more time, so in the shows coming up, you'll have the ability to contact me or our guest and let me know what's going on. That is part of what we're doing at bloginservice.com, is we just want people to know that we're there for them and they have somewhere to go to explore the new territory of consciousness that's emerging in the Western culture, and that there are people that can help them understand it, sort it out, and make their life bloom to its full potential. So the number to call, not today, but next show live, is 1-888-268-4313. You could just program it into your cell phone or write it down, stick it up on a poster board. And that way, you know, you always have a hotline to spiritual information and insight. One last time for today, the number is 1-888-268-4313. 4313. Since regaining my full spiritual power through integration with the soul and awakening all those parts of myself that were sleeping, there have been many interesting interactions in the dream space. I remember showing up at a theater on the astral plane. As I was approaching, there were people all over the grounds, laying down, looking as if they were totally strung out. They were alive, but all their energy was totally focused inward. They're oblivious to everything going around, and they all looked just totally overwhelmed. And I entered into the theater and saw posters up that had said that Osho had just made an appearance. First I thought to myself, "Ah, I can't believe I just missed Osho." But then realizing that I don't need Osho to be there in the flesh or even in the energy body, that my link to him is never lost. So I just kept walking around a little bit. Then time shifted forward and everybody was gone. And later I asked Shab, Osho Sannyasin that introduced me to his work. And he told me that that was much like what happened at Osho's energy transmissions when he was here on the earth. That he'd blast everybody with energy, this powerful love energy. And it was so overwhelming that everyone would just absorb it. I think they called it being blissed out. They were so full of the spirit that they just had to indulge the feeling for a while. There was another time when I was looking for used books on the astral plane and in my sleep during a dream, shopping around, and the dream went for quite a while in just a normal bookstore mode. I was going through the usual sections, the New Age and Eastern philosophy and the usual type of books, when I noticed that there was a downstairs area. And we all know the musty downstairs areas where they keep all the real gems. They're usually surrounded by a lot of books that are somewhat forgettable, but that just makes it easier to find the pearls scattered throughout. So I headed downstairs at this bookstore, and as soon as I set foot upon the basement floor, I noticed a brilliant light coming from my left. As I approached it, I realized that it was a temple to Yogananda. There were many of his books there, a whole series of candles of varying sizes and colors, and in the back was a giant picture of Yogananda that was shifting back and forth between Yogananda and Ganesh. I was awed, impressed, and thankful to be shown such a holy place in the astral plane. Now you see over there, just like in the 3D world, there are pockets of higher vibration. Also in the astral realm, 4D, there are pockets of higher vibration even yet. And this temple was an example of such a phenomenon. Being a songwriter myself, I've long admired the work of John Lennon. When I was younger, I loved the Beatles and listened to all their albums. And when I ran out of Beatles albums, I went to their solo albums and listened to all of their work individually. For a long time, I favored Paul McCartney's tunes and liked their melody and simple elegance. But after I went through my awakening experience, I began to hear Lennon's solo work in a completely different way. I realized the beauty, the honesty, the sincerity, and the power in what he was saying. I even began to feel like I was a successor to him in the songwriting realm. My guides graciously decided to take me to see him. We arrived at a bar on the astral plane where John Lennon was the bartender. And he was just doing his job. He wasn't singing or doing anything all that noteworthy. He was just there. And I sat right up at the bar on a bar stool. This is where I made a critical thinking error that disrupts the flow of these kind of dreams. So I'd like to point this out so that you can become aware of this as you explore your own dreams and as you meet up with entities who live there. So when I saw him, my mind immediately thought, he's dead. My mind couldn't process it right. It kept getting hung up on, well, he's dead, but he's dead. And so my dream immediately dissolved and I woke up and I realized that I had disrupted the dream. I had disrupted the experience because I could not accept that it was happening. So accept the possibilities. Accept that when you know for yourself that when someone dies, they don't just disappear. You will be able to keep an open mind upon seeing them and roll with it. One way we can improve our facility in this regard is by cultivating continuity between the sleeping and the waking state. This reminds me of the Chuang Tzu story of where he was dreaming that he was a butterfly. And upon awakening, he cried out, and all the disciples gathered around. And he described his dream of where he was a butterfly to the disciples. And he asked, am I Chuang Tzu dreaming I am a butterfly? Or am I the butterfly dreaming I'm Chuang Tzu? Now, he wasn't looking for a specific in concrete answer. He was creating a circumstance for the disciples to learn. and the meaning behind the illustration is that we are a witness to both. There is not that much of a difference between our time when we are awake and the time we are asleep. We experience what occurs, and it changes us in some way. So when you start looking at the awake state and the dream state, when you look at each of these as simply another reality that you are observing, you start to get continuity of being across various realms. A technique that is useful to attain consciousness in the dream state, and really this is what lucid dreaming is, to have the ability to be awake consciousness wise while you're sleeping and to take over the direction that the dream moves in, to fully participate in the experience as the being that you are. This technique is from Osho's Book of Secrets, and it exists in various ways throughout various traditions. And it's very simple. All day long, you think to yourself, it's a dream, it's a dream, it's a dream. And whenever you can remember to do so, again think, it's a dream, it's a dream, it's a dream. A friend of mine even put up little signs all around his house to help create that atmosphere. It's a dream, it's a dream, it's a dream. And what will happen is you'll instigate this brain pattern. And as brain patterns do, they cycle through and come back around and come back around and come back around. And one time you'll be sleeping and this thought pattern will come back around and it'll act as a little wedge that will then bring your conscious attention to the fore, and suddenly you'll be there awake in the dream environment. Now it might take a little while to learn to facilitate the next stage of the happening, but over time you'll get used to it and be able to take over the direction of the dream. A yogic technique to maintain consciousness into sleep can cause what is known as an out-of-body experience, of where you're conscious for the separation of the energy body from the physical body. It's a very interesting thing to do. As you're laying down for the evening, just know to yourself that you're going to maintain presence as you sink into sleep. And many times along the way, the pull of sleep will encourage you to relax and drift away into unconsciousness. The only thing you have to do is maintain the flame of awareness. Just be there and remain there as in I Am Presence. First, you'll notice your body starting to kick into a regular breathing mode. It astonished me how much like the breathing apparatus you see in hospitals, the sleeping breath state is actually like. It's very regular and controlled. And you still just watch it all happen. Watch it all starting to take place. You can notice your heart beating. And just how all these things happen on their own. You may even notice that you are being breathed as an extension of the greater universe. If you can maintain an observing presence, you will start sinking deeper and deeper beneath the surface. You'll feel the skin on your face and the upper part of your body become farther and farther away. You will feel bigger and freer, and your sense of self will find itself in another place. The final technique I will discuss today is a four-part exercise that I've put together called How to Communicate with the Dead. And this had some popularity over the internet, and I think it's because it's simple and it works. Step one is to awaken your upper energies. Focus on your third eye and your heart center and your fifth chakra as well, if you'd like to waken all three up. You can experiment. It's most important to have your third eye and your heart center open. And you can draw a line of energy between them. Really get them activated. And step two is to think of the one you'd like to communicate with. You can reflect upon memories, or imagine their presence, or send out your love. Feel the connection of love you still have with them. You could look over some pictures, tell a favorite story to a friend, anything to bring it out into the open and into the air. And the third step is to go to sleep with this fresh in your mind and be in a state of readiness and receptivity for the situation to occur. And it may take more than one attempt. But if you're patient with the process, there is no doubt that it will work. Sometimes it doesn't kick in until we lose track of it just a little bit. Even as lovers often find each other by accident, not when they're desperately searching. And the fourth and most important of the steps is to record the experience. For all dreams, cultivate a climate of recovery. Keep pencils, pens, and paper by the bed, and have the strength and interest necessary to break through the haze of sleep that wants to tell you to forget about it, lay back down, or if it tells you, you'll remember it, don't worry, you'll remember it. It's so clear right now, how could you forget? Well, dreams fade away, and the grooves in the brain left by dreams fade away with them, unless we write them down. It is key and necessary to write them down. Tape recorders are also very helpful. Once in my sleep, I had a dream of where I was carrying a boombox and playing for friends the song I had just recorded at the studio. Well, I had never written a song yet on Earth, but when I woke up, there was enough of it in my mind that I could reach over to the tape recorder that I had waiting by the bed, turn it on, and sing it out. And then as I started to sing it out and knew that it was recorded, more and more of it came until I sang the exact song that was on the boombox in my dream. Once you start getting used to writing dreams down, or ideas down, or anything that occurs to you, the process will become more fluid, and each time you externalize something, you make room for something new. And in this way, the creative process goes on and on, and you learn more and more about yourself. In the modern era, we see the wonderful new world of cyberspace, which is a physical world reflection of the astral world. And this is what the information age is really all about. Growth and expansion from absorbing new ideas. I once had a dream where a guide took me to a laboratory somewhere on the astral plane, and he had a helper there that was kind of manning the board, and he set me in a chair and asked me if I wanted to go through with the experience, and I said I did. And he proceeded to plug my nervous system directly into the universal mainframe. And at first, I could feel a jolt, like, woo. The flood of facts startled me, and it took a second or two to get the knack of how to incorporate the computer into my consciousness. Soon, as fast as I could process the information, I was growing and expanding in exactly the same manner you imagine the Big Bang reaching out from a center. So too was I reaching out from the center point of where I was tuned into the source of information. So whether it's in cyberspace, dream world, or the physical reality we meet every day, it's good to remember the concept of Maya, the illusion. This does not mean it doesn't have a reality or a meaning of some sort. It means that it's alive, that it's moving, that it's fluid, that it's transitory, that one day it will be here, and another day it will be gone. We, the one who observes and experiences these events, will remain. In this way, the eternal could be seen as the real, and the temporary as the illusion. As we understand how to create our own dreams through imagination and manifestation, we begin to shape our lives accordingly, rather than the world happening to us. We begin happening to the world in a very dynamic way, simply by being ourselves. Going out into the world today, listen to the call of your heart. Externalize the goodness that you feel within. And make all your own dreams come true. I'd like to close with a song to reaffirm the good work we've done. It's a beautiful tune called Free Mind, Sunshine.
Thank you. Listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.